My text this evening is really taken from verse 4 to verse 6, where the wise men asked Herod where Christ should be born. That's at the end of verse 4. Then in verse 5 it says, they said unto him, that is the scribes and Pharisees say unto Herod, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. The chapter before us records one of the best known scenes of the Nativity and the coming of Christ into this world. It tells us about wise men coming from far off eastern lands. And they sought and they found the Lord Jesus Christ as an infant. And they fell down and they worshipped Him as the Messiah, the Christ of the living God. Those wise men are particularly noted for the gifts that they presented to the Christ child. When they came into the house, and Matthew chapter 2, I think it's the verse 11, it emphasizes the house, the wise men. No matter how many Christmas cards you have seen with the wise men in the stable, they weren't there. Because by that time, Mary and Joseph were in a house. And so they came into the house and they opened the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And that's what they are most noted for. They speak, of course, the gold speaks of His kingship, the frankincense of His priesthood, and the myrrh speaks of His death. However, tonight I want us to look at something a little bit different in relation to this passage. Something that is very significant in their search for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And what we discover is that they were guided to the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Scriptures. The star, of course, appeared, and they noted it in their own country, the eastern lands, and they followed it, and they made their journey from the east across the desert, probably coming up into Syria, and then down, coming south into Israel or the land of Canaan. And they eventually arrived at Jerusalem and they made inquiry of Herod. Herod didn't know what they were talking about. And so he called the religious leaders, the priests, the scribes, and he asked them, where should this Messiah, this Christ, be born? And it was at that point that the religious leaders, they pointed the wise men to Bethlehem. Because thus it is written by the prophet. That's what they say in verse 5. Where would He be born? In Bethlehem. And how did they know that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem? Because it was written by the prophet. And they're referring, of course, to the prophecy of Micah, the chapter 5 and the verse 2. And it was then that the wise men made their journey to Bethlehem. The star, as it were, reappeared, guided them to the very place in Bethlehem. But the scriptures had a major role. In fact, I go as far as saying this. Without the scriptures, without the revelation of the Old Testament, they would not have found the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to consider that theme this evening. And I want you to learn and have emphasized for you a number of lessons. The first thing I want to emphasize is this. I want you to see the revelation of Scripture. You see, from verses 5 and 6 of Matthew chapter 2, we learn that Scripture's central theme is the Lord Jesus Christ. All Scripture points to and prophesies of Him. The question was asked to Herod in verse 2, where is He that is born King of the Jews? They're looking for one individual, Jesus, the Messiah, the King of the Jews. And then in verse 4, the question that Herod puts to the priests, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And the subject, the talking point, the theme on their lips is Jesus Christ, God's promised Messiah. Where is He? Where would He come to? How would we know about Him? And Herod didn't know, so he called the scribes and the chief priests, and they got the old book out, the Old Testament. They knew the Bible. And they tell them in Bethlehem, verse 5, in Bethlehem of Judea, for, and I want you to notice that wee word, for, because it's in Bethlehem of Judea, because thus it is written by the prophet. Micah said that the Messiah would come, and he told the very place. And the point I'm making to you is this, that Micah's theme in writing that chapter of the Bible, it's all about Jesus Christ. Micah wrote of Christ. And when we speak about not only Micah, we'll make it more general. The Old Testament, it all points to, it all proclaims the person and the work and the ministry and the coming of Jesus Christ. Listen, when you read the Old Testament, don't think you're just reading a list of genealogies and a list of rules and ceremonies. The Old Testament, its primary message is to present Jesus Christ, who would come into the world. John 5 and 39, Jesus challenged the religious leaders of His day. He said, search the Scriptures. And they didn't have the New Testament at that period of time. He's talking about Genesis to Malachi. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they that testify of Moses. No, that's not what He said. They are they that testify of the rules of the law. No, that's not what He said. They are they that testify of Me. The Reverend Elliot read this morning or quoted in his sermon those words of Jesus in another place in John's Gospel where Jesus said, Moses wrote of Me. Aye, the books of Moses, they tell of Jesus Christ. Do you remember when Philip found Nathanael and he was witnessing to him that he had got saved? And what did he say in John 1 and 45? We have found Him, the person of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. Moses wrote about Jesus. The prophets wrote about Jesus. And when you read the Old Testament, you're reading a prophecy about Him and about His coming into the world. In Acts 10 and 43, we're told to Him, that is to Jesus. Peter's preaching to Cornelius and he's telling him about Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners, the only one that could take away their sins, whether they were Romans or Jews or Greeks or Gentiles. He said to him, give all the prophets witness, every one of them, that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. To Him give all the prophets witness. Do you remember the two who walked on the road to Emmaus? And their hearts were in their boots. They were sad. They were discouraged. And what did Jesus do? It tells us He drew near and he, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded it unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And men and women, we learn again in the birth of the Messiah that the Old Testament, its message is Christ. And I tell you, it's him crucified. I want you to notice something very interesting about this scriptural revelation of the Lord Jesus to the wise men. I stated a little earlier, without scripture, the wise men couldn't find Jesus. And as you follow the reading, you discover the star brought them into the land of Israel and to Jerusalem. And then, now I accept it doesn't say the star disappeared or that it was clouded from view. But something happened that led them to come to Herod. At that point, the star did not bring them directly to Bethlehem. And we can only speculate as to why that was. But nevertheless, the star only brought them so far. And then the scripture was brought to their attention that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And as they left the palace in Jerusalem with the scripture, it seems to be the star came into view again. For it tells us, when they heard the king, verse 9, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. There's something very wonderful there, men and women. You see, the star reminds us of the natural revelation. It speaks to us of the creation and the heavens. And in Psalm number 19, we read this: the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. In other words, if men and women will lift their eyes and they will look to God's creation, they will see, they will learn, they will understand that there is a creator. But the natural creation does not reveal that Jesus Christ is God's Savior. The natural creation does not teach us or instruct us as to how man can be right with God. And while men can look at the natural creation and understand and know that there's a creator, there is a God, the natural creation, natural revelation is not enough in itself to bring men savingly to the Lord Jesus or into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. But that's where the Word of God comes in. And you see in Psalm 19 we also read not only about the heavens declaring the glory of God, but we read the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And you see, when you have the natural revelation of God's creation along with the law of the Lord, the scriptures, and they work in harmony the one with the other to bring sinners to an understanding. There's a God in heaven, that Jesus is His Son. He's the only Savior that sinners need. And it's the scriptures that bring men and women savingly to an understanding and relationship with Jesus Christ. I tell you, men and women cannot find Christ without the Bible. Without the scriptures. Oh, they might get saved without a Bible. They'll maybe pray for the Lord to save them. But where do they receive their understanding of the gospel? It's through Christians witnessing the Bible to them. It's through having heard it preached on a past time. It's the Word of God that brings men and women to that understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ, and brings them to the place that the wise men came, where they bowed the knee and they accepted and received Christ and worshipped Him as their Lord and as their Savior. Scripture testifies of Christ, and it's Scripture that brings men and women to a saving relationship with Christ through faith. The second thing I want you to notice this evening is not only the revelation from Scripture, but I want you to notice the reality of Scripture. Look at verse 5 and 6 again. And it tells us, they said unto him, that is where Christ should be born, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And then verse 6 quotes Micah 5 and 2. And those verses prove to us that the Bible is true. How did Micah know that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem? God told him by inspiration. All Scripture is given by inspiration. Micah knew that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem for the same reason that Isaiah knew that he would be wounded and bruised for our transgressions. For the same reason that the psalmist could write that his hands would be pierced. God revealed it to them in inspiration. And as well as these verses underlining and reminding us and teaching us that the Bible is true, furthermore, these verses teach us that biblical prophecy is to be taken literally, especially in relation to places and to people. Even the Jews in their unconverted state, and these men, the chief priests and the scribes, they were unconverted men. They were religious men, but they weren't saved. And yet they knew that the Messiah would literally be born in the city or the town of Bethlehem, because that's what Micah had prophesied in his prophecy. And when he said Bethlehem, he didn't mean Jerusalem. When he said Bethlehem, he didn't mean Nazareth. When he said Bethlehem, he didn't mean Galilee or Bethel or Hebron. He meant Bethlehem in Judea. You see, just as this prophecy was fulfilled literally in relation to Christ's coming, so were a number of other prophecies. And Matthew emphasizes them in verse 2. Do you see there in verse 23? I'm talking about chapter 1, verse 23 now. There are some in chapter 2 as well. Just look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And if you note, I should have read verse 22 first of all. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. You just notice that wee phrase. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. The Lord spoke through the prophet. The prophet was God's mouthpiece, as it were. But it was God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. And what did God say through Isaiah? That a virgin would be with a child. Isaiah 7 and verse 14. And when you come to the Gospels, you discover it wasn't a married woman who gave birth to the Messiah. It was a pure young woman who had never been with a man. Why? Because that's what the Bible said. And the Bible's to be taken literally. Unless the immediate context shows otherwise. And this prophecy was literally fulfilled in relation to the Lord's coming. So were a number of prophecies in Matthew chapter 2. And again, they're referred to. Look at verse 15 of Matthew chapter 2. We'll read verse 14 as well. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord. Do you notice that? Again, this was spoken by the Lord, or of the Lord, by the prophet. And the prophet in this occasion is the prophet Hosea. And in chapter 11 and verse 1 of Hosea's prophecy, he prophesied, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." In other words, the Messiah would be in Egypt for a season. And Egypt meant Egypt. It didn't mean Babylon. It didn't mean Ethiopia. It didn't mean Britain. It didn't mean anywhere else. It meant that the Messiah would go down into Egypt and the father would call his son out of Egypt. And the Lord spoke it through the prophet. It was fulfilled literally. There's another one there. It's a very tragic one and a sad one. In chapter 2 and verse 17 and 18, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy or Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not." Jeremiah prophesied that the daughters of Israel, that they would weep and mourn over their children who were taken away in death. And it was fulfilled literally. There, at the first coming of Christ. Now, you might be asking the question, why is the preacher tonight emphasizing so much these prophecies being literally fulfilled? I'm saying that to you to prove that Scripture is true, that Bible prophecy will be fulfilled just as it says. And I'm saying it to you for a very good reason if you look at our text. Verse 5 and 6, particularly the end of verse 6. "Thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, a ruler, that shall rule my people Israel." And I put it to you that that part of the prophecy was not fulfilled at the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he was born in Bethlehem, he whose goings forth were of old, even from everlasting. He was born in Bethlehem, there in Judea. But when Mary conceived and the angel appeared unto her, and again the Reverend Elliot quoted it this morning, the angel said to Mary that the son that she was bearing, that God would give him the throne of his father David. And this verse confirms it, that he would be the governor, he would be the ruler, he would be the king over his ancient covenant people. My friend, the only crown he wore at his first coming was a crown of thorns. And when they tried to make him king by force, he slipped out of their way in John chapter 6. But I tell you, there's coming a day when Micah 5 and 2 will be fully and finally fulfilled. Part of it was fulfilled at his first coming, and the second part of it will be fulfilled at his second coming. For the Bible tells me, of the second time, he will descend in the clouds, and he will enter in, as it were, to Jerusalem. His feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, and then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. And he sit upon the throne then. He will govern. He will rule. And he will reign. And he will reign over the house of Israel. Men and women, the Bible says Jesus spoke those words in Matthew 5 and 18, "Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." And it will all be fulfilled. The child that came to the manger, he'll be the one that sits upon the throne and rules the nations. Oh, the Bible's true, and it will all be fulfilled. There'll be none of it left unfulfilled. The Bible, we've thought about the revelation of Scripture. It points men to Christ. We've thought about the reality of Scripture. It's true, and it will all be fulfilled, every word of it. I want tonight in closing
to draw your attention to the response to the Scripture. Let me rehearse again before you briefly that the wise men are before the king. The king Herod, he's called in the religious leaders, the chief priests and the scribes, and he demands where Christ should be born. And they say in Bethlehem, for thus it is written by the prophet. They received the scriptural message. And there were three groups of people there that had the word of God rehearsed in their ears. And in closing tonight, I just want to highlight how they all responded. The chief priests and the scribes, they just went their way and were indifferent. You see, they knew it in their head. They maybe didn't even have to get the scrolls out whenever Herod asked, where's the Messiah to be born? They maybe didn't even have to open the scrolls. It just says, Bethlehem, Micah 5 and 2. He'll be born in Bethlehem. And then they went out their door and they went back to their business just as usual. They had it in their head. But they hadn't it in their hearts. And you know, men and women, there are people in this world and there are people in this country and there are people in this town. A father and mother came down last night and we had tea together and he was telling me about one of his customers who knew, actually he knew the Reverend Trevor Baxter before Reverend Baxter was converted. And my dad had met with him during the week and he'd said to him, you're a free pea, aren't you? And he says, I knew that boy Baxter before he could see him and tell him a wee bit about him. And he was saying, and he was speaking to my father about it, and my dad said this to me. He said, you know, that boy could preach a sermon to you. I'm not talking about the Reverend Baxter now. He could preach a sermon. I'm talking about this fellow that knew him. He says he could preach a sermon to you. He knows the Bible inside out. And he says he's a tongue on him like a sewer. He's not saved. And he'll talk about the gospel, but he's not right with God. And you know, this town, and maybe even there are people in this church, and they've learned the gospel from their mother's knee. They're just like the scribes and the Pharisees. They have it in their head, but it hasn't led them to bow the knee to Jesus Christ and repent of their sins and believe the gospel and get saved. That's how some people respond. They know it in their head, but they don't come and confess their sins and receive Christ as their Savior. And then there was old Herod. He heard that message too. What did he do? Well, he did two things. First of all, he bluffed his way, didn't he? Called the wise men in. He said, listen, you go and find this Christ child. And you come back and you tell me all about him and I'll come and worship him too. Let on, he was sympathetic to the wise men and to the cause and to the gospel. And I'll come with you when you find him and I'll worship him and I'll become a follower of him. And yet in his heart, he wanted to slay him. He was a rebel. He heard the word of God and while he put on an outward bluster, as it were, and a bluff that he was going to follow Jesus, yet in his heart he was rebellious. Wanted to do away with Jesus and slay him. You know, there are people like that. And they hear the word of God. And they hear all about Jesus Christ as the only Savior. And they either put on the show that they try to bluff others that they are going to follow the Lord. And yet in their hearts, deep down, they're rebels who have no time for God, no time for Christ. And really, they want to do away with him. Then there was a third response to the word. The wise men heard the word of God. And what did they do? Well, verse 11 tells you, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'm going to guess now, but I think I'm on safe ground. This was probably the first time these wise men had heard Micah 5 and 2 proclaimed. And yet in hearing that text and passage of Scripture, they obeyed it. And they came to Bethlehem, and there they found the Savior, and they fell down and they worshipped Him in an act of faith and devotion and giving their hearts to Him. And then they gave their treasures to Him. And what were they doing? First of all, they were acknowledging Him as the Savior of the world. Falling before Him, worshipping Him. They were expressing their faith in Him, their devotion to Him, and they were giving themselves and their gifts to Him. What a picture of salvation. For when men and women hear the Word, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And those that hear the Word, with profit and benefit, what do? They trust Christ as their Savior. They begin to worship Him, and they give of their lives as a sacrifice to Him. That's how you should respond to the Word of God. The Scriptures and the wise man. The Scriptures reveal Jesus Christ, the only Savior. The Scriptures are real and true and will be fulfilled down to the very jot and tittle. The question is, how will you respond to the message of the gospel revealed in the Scripture? Will you be like the chief priests and scribes and settle for a head knowledge that will take you to hell? Will you be like Herod, who will totally rebel against it? Or will you be like the wise man who heard it, believed it, followed it and obeyed it to the salvation of their souls? I trust that like the wise man, you will respond in this way to the Scriptures.